Hello, recordings. So I just got back from work and I turned on my computer, opened up Facebook, and I was greeted by the absolutely heartbreaking news that the man who inspired me so long ago to start writing short stories on MS Paint, Sir Terry Pratchett, has passed away. And there is a hole in my stomach right now. Just a pit. Because I am so sad. Because there is no way I could possibly put into words how much that man meant to me. Because I have always been an introvert. I've never had that many friends. This isn't like a pity story or anything, but I spent my time when I was young reading books. I was a kid who, when my mother wanted to punish me as a kid, she would force me out of the house. So I read books, and my dad was a big fan of Discworld, and he would always leave books around the house, and I eventually started reading them. And the first one that I ever read was a trilogy. It was the Death Trilogy, which is three books. It's obviously it's Mort, Soul Music, and Reaper Man. And Mort is a book about a kid who goes off to become an apprentice, and no one picks him, and he's the last young lad to be picked, and Death comes and takes him on as an apprentice, as Death. And the way he writes is so, I always say it was passively comical. Like, his comedy isn't blatant, it's hidden in subtext, or in annotations. And I've since read the Death Trilogy probably close to 20 times, and it's still perfect. And I've read not all of the Discworld books, because there are a lot of them, because he churned them out at a ridiculous rate. But I've read a lot of them. And yeah, I absolutely believe that he is the reason that I write stories today. And I always, as a kid, when I first realized that I want to be an author, I used to dream of him one day reading my work. And that was something I always aspired to. And now that will never happen. And that is one of the most heartbreaking things of my life. So, rather than continue talking sad about him, I wanted to read. If this needs to be taken down, I get it, but this is the final, like, two or three pages, 2.5 pages of Thief of Time, which is one of my favorites, because it has one of my favorite characters, which is Lutsey the Sweeper. But I always thought this was a really beautiful way to end a book. So, yeah, I'm gonna read it and try and not cry. Tick. Emma Robertson sat in the classroom with wrinkled brow, chewing on her pencil. Then, rather slowly, but with the air of one imparting great secrets, she set to work. "We went to Lanka, where there are witches. They are kind, they grow herbs. We met this witch. She was very jolly and sang us a snog about a hedgehog. It had difficult words. Jason tried to kick her cat. It chased him up a tree. I know a lot about witches now. They do not have warts. They do not eat you. They are just like your gran, except your gran does not know difficult words." At her high desk, Susan relaxed. There was nothing like a classroom of bent heads. A good teacher used whatever materials there were to hand, and taking the class to visit Mrs. Ogg was an education in itself. Two educations. A classroom going well had its own smell. A hint of pencil shavings, poster paints, long dead stick insect, glue, and of course, the faint aroma of Billy. There had been an uneasy meeting with her grandfather. She'd raged that he hadn't told her things, and he'd said of course he hadn't. If you told humans what the future held, it wouldn't. That made sense. Of course it made sense. It was good logic. The trouble was that Susan was only mostly logical. And so, now, things were back in that uneasy, rather cool state where they spent most of their time in the tiny little family that ran on dysfunctionality. Maybe, she thought, that was a normal family state. When push came to shove, thank you, Mrs. Ogg, she'd always remember that phrase now. They'd rely on each other automatically, without a thought. Apart from that, they kept out of one another's way. She hadn't seen the death of rats lately. It was too much to hope that he was dead. In any case, it hadn't slowed him down so far. That made her think wistfully about the contents of her desk. Susan was very strict about eating in class, and took the view that, if there were rules, then they applied to everyone, even her. Otherwise, they were merely tyranny. But maybe rules were there to make you think before you broke them. There was still half a box of Higgs and Meekins' cheapest assortment tucked in there amongst the books and papers. Opening the lid carefully and slipping her hand in was easy, and so was the maintenance of a suitable teachery face while she did so. Questing fingers found a chocolate in the nest of empty paper cups and told her that it was a damn nougat. But she was resolute. Life was tough. Sometimes you got nougat. Then she briskly picked up the keys and walked to the stationery cupboard with what she hoped was the purposeful step of someone about to check on the supply of pencils. After all, you never knew with pencils. They needed watching. The door clicked behind her, leaving only the dim light through the transom. She put the chocolate in her mouth and shut her eyes. A faint, cardboardy sound made her open them. The lids were gently lifting on the boxes of stars. They spilled out and whirled up into the shadows of the cupboard, brilliant against the darkness, a galaxy in miniature, gently spinning. Susan watched them for a while, and then said, "All right, you have my full attention, whoever you are." At least, that was what she meant to say. The peculiar stickiness of the nougat caused it to come out as ally. "You are of my full attention, uva damn." The stars spiraled around her head, and the cupboard's interior darkened into interstellar black. "If it is oo, Death of Wrath," she began. "It's me," said Lobsang. "Tick. Even with nougats, you can have a perfect moment." Fuck. Yeah. So, rest in peace, you brilliant son of a bitch. I will miss you dearly, but I look forward to the day when I can show my son your books like my dad showed me. I look forward to that day very much.